Anderson versus Anderson. Council may approach.
Okay.
And Mr. Catlett, before, yes, before we get started, I just want to indicate that we did have an off-the-record discussion before we started this morning. And during that discussion, we requested that Mr. Werner file with us a supplemental transcript to include the complaint to the complaint to modify, which was filed June 14, the temporary order that was entered on July 13 of 2018, and then the answer to complaint and consent to judgment filed on July 26 by Mr. Werner's clients. And Mr. Werner has agreed to do that and to get that to us no later than Friday, March 29, 2019. With that being entered on the record, you may proceed.
Does the clock come on? Oh, here we go. Okay. All right. May it please the court, my name is Matt Catlett. I represent the appellant in this matter, Jamin Anderson, who is in the courtroom today. This appeal arises from a judgment entered in December of 2017 by the District Court of Thayer County. In September in 2004, the state sues Jamin Anderson to establish paternity of Kaylin Anderson. 2005, I think, a judgment of paternity was entered. Subsequent to that, Jamin Anderson brings suit against the mother of Kaylin and a child that was born after Kaylin to Michelle Clayton at the time. Named Trevin Anderson, and so he brings suit in Thayer County to establish, I guess, paternity over Trevin. Kaylin's paternity had already been entered as Kaylin. The authorized attorney practicing these Title 4D cases in Gage County, I think, moved the Gage County Court to have the whole file transferred to the Thayer County Court in the matter. And so in 2006, Jamin brings suit in Thayer County against Michelle to establish paternity of Trevin and for custody of both Trevin and Kaylin. Stipulation was filed right away. And some months later, I think it was in April of 2007, judgment was entered. Jamin's the father of Kaylin and Trevin. Custody, I guess, joint legal custody between Jamin and Michelle Anderson Clayton, and physical custody with Jamin. So you flash forward, 6 years, and in about August of 2013, a man and a woman named Jerry and Carol Anderson, husband and wife, filed a pleading called Motion to Intervene and Complaint to Modify. That action was dismissed in May of 2014. I contend that it was dismissed by operation of law 6 months after it was filed because of our statute in Nebraska that provides that an action is dismissed 6 months after filing if the defendant is not served. Now, in that particular case, only Michelle had apparently been served, but Jamin had not, and that was the basis for Judge Johnson to enter an order in May of 2014 saying, action dismissed. I contend it was dismissed back in February. But what happened then is that Jerry and Carol turned around and, a month later or so, filed this identical pleading. And this is where the problems begin. So it is our position that, first of all, and I don't know if I assign these as one and two in my brief, but I don't even know where to begin, but intervention after judgment, there's no right to intervene after judgment under statute. And so a party seeking to intervene post-judgment has to, seek an order of the court under its equity jurisdiction. I understand that this is an equitable case, but the law, the rules still apply, and an unreasonable delay is certainly one reason to deny intervention post-judgment. We talk all the time about, child custody cases are not final in the sense that they cannot be modified, but, you know, we have a law, that a statute that governs how you go about that process. But that doesn't mean that somehow the law regarding intervention post-judgment doesn't apply. It still applies, and it was 7 years post-judgment, and there were no extraordinary circumstances that we think justified the intervention, and there was an aduate remedy at law.
Do you acknowledge that grandparents can intervene under the right circumstances as it relates to custody?
Yeah, I mean, well, we have a grandparent visitation statute. That statute doesn't govern custody, but I think that under the correct circumstance, there could be a intervention under the right circumstances, really, by anybody. Although I do prefer that if a person is claiming that the natural parents of a child whose custody has been determined are unfit or have forfeited their superior right to custody, that action needs to be brought in the probate court, because that's the law, right? Where an adequate remedy at law exists, we're not going to give you equity. And the guardianship statute specifically provide that anybody who has an interest in the welfare of a minor may petition the probate court to establish a guardianship. That didn't happen here. One of the reasons this is important is because a petition for a guardianship has to be filed in the county where the minor child is, you know, domiciled. And at the time in this case, Kaylin and Trevin were in the actual possession and custody of Jamin Anderson in Lancaster County. So, you know, we think that the problems, there's all kinds of problems, but one significant problem is this 7 years post-judgment intervention. The other problem, of course, is that the matter in a complaint to modify, you know, in our, 42.364, subsection 6, which I think was added by the legislature in 2004, and that requires a complaint to modify, requires service to be personal. You got to serve it on both parents. As I argue in my brief, the court could not have acquired any jurisdiction until both parents were served. Even the grandparent visitation statute says both parents must be served, and they must be served personally. Grandparent visitation, you don't file the case, you don't file your complaint in the action, you file it in the district court where the action is pending, But the point is that if both parents have to be served in a grandparent visitation case, how do both parents not have to be served in a post-judgment complaint to intervene, to modify custody and award me custody? Michelle had not been personally served within 6 months, and there had been an appeal before. I got into the case in 2015, and I took one look at it. I said, well, listen, there's a problem here. And so we moved, the court tried to address this with the district court itself. That was, motion was denied, we appealed. And this court said, well, Jamin was served, but, you know.
Let me ask you a question, because we're primarily focusing based on the representations previously that our primary issues here are the child support and the attorney's fees at this stage, given the what we expect to be filed as a supplemental transcript. So the question is, child support has always been couched in the terms of it's the right of the children to receive child support, not the right of the custodian, the right of the children. And so we have this period of time where the children are placed with the grandparents. And I know you can argue all day as to whether that was correct or not, but the fact of the matter is children are placed with the grandparents. So what's your argument that there should not have been child support received during that time?
Because the court didn't have subject matter jurisdiction to issue the order of custody or child support or intervention. The order granting leave to intervene was granted before there was even the period of time to respond to the complaint was entered. And it was, so intervention grant, the motion for temporary custody was filed before they had been given leave to intervene. Before they are parties to the case, the court, they filed this motion. So I don't think there was a motion for temporary. I think it, and I argued in my brief, the motion was a nullity. My argument is that the court didn't have the authority to enter it. So a discussion about whether or not child support is the right of the child, you know, for his or her support.
Did the subsequent order allowing them to intervene cure that?
The order allowing them to intervene was entered in July of 2014. It was entered, it was simultaneous. The complaint, the motion to intervene and complaint to modify was filed on whatever day it was, June. I can't remember exactly what day it was filed. It was right after Memorial Day. And there was this crazy hearing in Fillmore County, which wasn't the county, but something happened. I don't know what happened that day, but what happened is that the judge just orally said, well, we're going to have this hearing on July 3rd. And at that hearing, the court entered an order saying leave to intervene is granted and temporary custody with Jerry and Carol, physical and legal custody with the court. Now, the child support order was not entered until about 2 months later, I think it was in September, but yes, it is our position that an order entered without jurisdiction is void, regardless of where the children were. It's just void, and so we have to be able to appeal that in some way. And so, and my light is blinking. The time is not.
You're out.
Am I out of time? Because the clock is not on here.
All right.
That's it. Thank you.
Your Honors, may it please the court, I think I am not misreading the court. I would love to argue all of the issues that Mr. Catlett brings up, but the plain fact of the matter is the District Court of Third County, Nebraska had jurisdiction over the custody of these children and had jurisdiction over an in loco parentis action to come forward and ask for custody. And therefore, and Mr. Catlett's correct, intervention was not entered until July. The court granted the intervention at that time. It also at that time ordered the child support, a minimal child support of $50 per month, not $100. For two kids, $50 a month. Now, these grandparents had, according to the court's decision, began caring full-time for the kids in 2011. There was no support ever by the father, not then, not till 2014 when the action started, and not after 2014 when child support was ordered. These grandparents did everything for these kids. They got them to school, they bought their food, they bought their clothing, they were there at night when they went to bed, they got them up in the morning, they did the transportation, they did everything for these children. And if the court is going to consider the motion to dismiss because it's moot, then this court is not going to change the court's order. And child support was ordered, and there were no attorney's fees ordered. What Mr. Catlett would have the court do is order attorney's fees of some $20,000, and then I assume he'll ask for attorney's fees in this court.
Let me get clarification on something about service and jurisdiction.
Okay.
So this started back in 2007 or so. There was a consent order in connection with custody way back then. You do have this motion or complaint to intervene. Is service a process? on both parties necessary under those circumstances, or does the court retain jurisdiction? What's your position in that regard?
I think when you have a new case, there does have to be service of process. Initially, there was a case filed for intervention, and we couldn't serve the father, Jamin, after several attempts. The mother was personally served. Then...
So, hold on for a second. So, is he correct then, in June of 2014, that Michelle, in fact, had not been served, and that she's an indispensable party? And can the court enter an order then, in June of 2014, or July of 2014, when an indispensable party has not been served?
The court said, I have custody over Jamin. Jamin was personally served. And the law in the state of Nebraska under, I think it's 25.323, says that if there is an indispensable party that's necessary to finally determine the action, and the case that I cited in my brief says this, then it is the court's obligation to bring in that party. And that's exactly what was done. Now, Michelle was served with certified mail. Not good enough if there's required service. And so we filed an independent action.
Yeah, I read your argument, and I understand that even if the court's required to bring them in, if they're not in, what happens to the orders made prior to the time that they're in?
The court had jurisdiction over Jamin. Jamin had custody, and I think that it was entirely proper and within the court's power under the Parenting Act that the court cited, and under its power to take care of these children, to proceed with jurisdiction. This is subject matter jurisdiction. The jurisdiction, the court, district court of Thayer County has jurisdiction over these children who were there before the court and the case. It's plain to me. But none of it, the child support actually hasn't been paid, so it doesn't make a whole lot of difference, I guess. But you've got to win in order to get attorney's fees. And if the court, there are cases that say that. And if the court is going to dismiss because of mootness, we will never reach all of these other decisions that were going on and on about, and they don't make any difference because this case is moot. And I agree that it is. And so I will submit it to the court, other than to say that there is no abuse of discretion, and Kennedy against Kennedy indicates that in that case that there's no abuse of discretion ordering the parent and the grandparents to pay their own fees, then the court should not overturn that.
Let me have a follow-up question. You've cross-appealed here with regard to the issue of fitness.
Yes.
Is that still on the table, or are you withdrawing that by virtue of having subsequently in your answer that we don't have on the record yet stipulated the fact that they're fit?
Well, I filed the motion for mootness early and wouldn't have gotten to that issue, of course, had I not had the brief. And so I brought it up on my brief. I mean, I don't think that any of it matters.
Well, the question, I think what Judge Welch is trying to get to, in your answer to plaintiff's complaint for modification,
yes,
in paragraph 4, you indicate that there has been a material change in circumstance since December 19, 2017, justifying the entry of a permanent order modifying said court order and placing the minor children, Kaylin and Trevin, in the legal and physical custody of plaintiff Jamin, he being fit to have the exclusive legal and physical custody of said children. Now that's what you said
earlier. I'm not arguing that he's not fit today. I was arguing that he was not fit during this period that the trial encompassed. And it is my opinion that that is a consent judgment and cannot be changed.
All right. Okay. Anything further?
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you for being here today. We have the case under advisement and you are dismissed. Thank you. And that concludes our docket for this morning and we are adjourned.